Disney Channel's Andy Mack shoving homosexuality down your children's throats. A transitioned trans detransitioning warns of the pitfalls of social media. And another ex-trans tells us what brought him out of it. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And today, this episode is going to be a subject that if you are a human being, okay, I probably say that a lot, but if you're a human being, if you're someone who takes things seriously when it comes to sexuality, if you're someone who takes things seriously when it comes to watching over and shepherding your kids in the right direction, today should be staggering for you, especially if you are still, at this point in time, allowing your children to watch the Disney Channel, just leaving it on and letting them watch it, okay? Because the Disney Channel, okay, on their show, Andy Mack, which, by the way, is the top-rated cable television show among children 6 to 14. Now, do you see that age range? 6 to 14. This developmental age, okay, has put forth absolute garbage and is shoving down homosexuality to your children. Guys, there was recently, I'm going to actually read from a Christian News Network article, because there was recently a gay scene that took place, okay? And it's been going all over the place. People are excited about this, and it's really, really heartbreaking to watch. And this is from the Christian News Network. It says, the Disney Channel's first season of its popular show for tweens, Andy Mack, depicts two boys realizing their feelings for each other and holding hands. Cyrus Goodman, played by Joshua Rush, had announced in an episode earlier this year, "I'm gay." In 2017, the show's creators also depicted Cyrus as revealing to his friend Buffy, played by Sophia Wiley, that he is jealous that Andy and Jonah are in a relationship as he likes Jonah too, and that he feels weird and different about his realization. In the series finale, which aired on July 26, Cyrus and TJ, played by Luke Mullen, are among the youth who, quote, or who sing Lady Gaga's Born This Way at a party. Later, as the two boys sit together on a bench, TJ reveals to Cyrus what his initials stand for. Cyrus enthusiastically exclaims that he thinks it is a, quote, great name, and the two smile at each other. Quote, is there anything else you want to know? TJ asks as he stares into Cyrus and slowly begins to reach for his hand. Cyrus looks down at TJ's hand moving toward his and replies, yes, is there anything you want to tell me? TJ inquires the same, and the two boys smile at each other and join hands. Soft music plays in the background to add to the scene. Guys, this is the stuff, and it's not like, hey, even teenagers, we're trying to go up a teenager. We're talking about the most watched cable series for children, okay? 6 to 14. 6 to 14. I cannot stress that enough. I have a 6-year-old, and I couldn't imagine what he would ask me if he watched something like this. Guys, these kids are impressionable. Go put on music and see if kids dance to it, okay? Go watch the kids doing the floss from Fortnite over and over again, okay? I just had my kid go through both of my boys, my 4 and my 6-year-old, play t-ball together. And typically when a kid got a nice hit, he would be doing the Fortnite dance in the corner, because kids are impressionable. It's a big deal. And they're after your children. It's no joke, guys. Disney has been doing this for a long time, and it's been a slow process. But guess what? It has sped up. They have hit the turbo. And when you are going after our 6 to 14-year-olds, and we're turning a blind eye, oh, it's no big deal. Guys, please stand up. Gird up your loins and be a man if you're a father. Turn that junk off. I mean, give me an absolute break. This is nonsense, guys. You wonder why kids are so conditioned this way. They go to school, and this is the nonsense they hear. Their friends they play sports with, these are their favorite shows. You think that you're going to have an impact on them while they're watching show after show, and these people that they adore, these characters they fall in love with. Guys, you guys have all, I'm sure, everyone on here has had a TV series that they really enjoyed. And what happened on the season finale? You were probably pretty sad when it ended, right? Because you started to develop a joy. You know, you started developing different, you know, you really like the characters. And you're like, hey, when it ended, you're like, oh, man, that stinks. I love watching those shows and watching their characters develop. Don't think your kids aren't feeling the same way, but probably even more so. Even more compelled. Sitting there for half hour at a time, watching these kids do this. And then they're pushing this on our children. I mean, guys, if we're not going to stand up, I don't know when you will. When will you stand up and say, I'm not going to allow this in my household? The psalmist said, I place no evil thing or worthless thing before my eyes. How are you going to put that in front of your kids' eyes and think it won't have an effect? It's a big deal, guys. And that's not the only way. TV is a huge way. Movies are a huge way. Music is a huge way. But I was recently listening to a transitioned, she's trying to detransition. Her name is Dagny. She's 22 years old, and I was listening to a speech that she gave. And this speech was warning against young people deciding to transition. And guys, when I mean transition, I mean go from a boy to a girl or a girl to a boy. And if you guys have ever watched this process happen with kids maybe in your town, I've seen it. I've talked to someone and shared with somebody who was transitioning. And guys, it is heartbreaking. I mean, you're talking about taking testosterone and hormone pills. Girls at 13 years old starting to take testosterone to try to be a man and try to grow a mustache. I went to high school. I didn't grow facial hair until I was 19, and I'm a man, you know. And it's really heartbreaking. You see these girls that are transitioning, literally freshmen in high school, growing goatees because they're taking hormones, you know, and we think, oh, how does this happen? You know, maybe there's some inclinations, somebody is a little more tomboyish, but society begins to tell them that not only are they trans and they're really just a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl trapped in a boy's body, or they have no gender or whatever nonsensical thing they're telling these children, they push them to do this. And I want you to hear not from me, but from Dagny. This is somebody who transitioned as a young girl, more towards 18, I believe she started taking the pills for hormonal treatment. But she transitioned, and now she's detransitioning. And what's happening to her is she's being pushed aside, and death threats. And I mean, this is a 22-year-old confused girl. And guys, don't get me wrong. If I'm quoting her, she would literally come out against the Christian conservatives that are quoting her. She is a lesbian. She does not know the Lord, but she needs to know the Lord. And I've been praying for her. I was listening to these interviews, and it was breaking my heart hearing her voice. And you guys are going to hear from her in a second. But I have to point out, guys, the reason why we stand against transgenderism is not because we hate the transgender person, okay? Not because we hate the person who is being deceived. We love that person. We recognize that they're being sold a lie. Some snake oil salesman has sit there and sold them this nonsense that you'll feel whole once you transition. That'll save the day. You'll feel normal once you transition. You'll feel like everybody else once you transition. And this is this promise, this oasis that they're promised, and they get there and there's nothing but sand. There's nothing but sand. They have nothing to go off of. And they think, oh, once I have this, I'll finally be happy. It's a vapor that they go after. Some people will chase after money. Some people chase after women. Some people chase after drugs. They're simply chasing after this, hoping to one day feel fulfilled. That God-sized hole will one day be fulfilled. This girl, I was going to play the clip, but I'm actually just going to quote from her. In the interview, she talks about as she was a little girl, starting up a Yahoo account and asking questions like, why do I want to be a boy? I wish I had a boy button. I could just press it. And she said she didn't grow up in a religious house, but she sat there praying to God, saying, God, if I could transition to a boy and press this boy button and become a boy, I would go to church every day after that. And it's actually really heartbreaking to think that that's what she wanted to beseech God with. Because God's word says this in Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Guys, it's serious. This is why it's a problem, because God says it is. Okay, he is your creator. He makes these laws. He wrote them on their heart, on your heart. There's a reason why you feel sadness. There's a reason why you feel broken, because you are. We're all broken in need of Jesus. We're all broken outside of his will. And so when we aren't walking in lock and step with him, we're going to feel broken. You're going to be depressed. And you guys could look up the numbers when it comes to suicide rates with trans before or after the transition. You could look up the depression rates and all these things. And guys, you're going to find they're still depressed. They're still committing suicide. It's really, really heartbreaking. This is a lie they are being sold. And sadly, so many churches are accepting this. I believe it was XXX Church, which was supposed to be a, you know, former porno actors church or whatever. And I remember looking, I was like, oh, they have some research on people trying to get out of pornography and addicted to pornography. I was like, oh, that's really cool. I'll check that out. And then he comes out with an article when the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing happened. And he said, I believe something along the lines of Caitlyn, God knows her and Caitlyn is her name. And it's like, no, his name is Bruce and he's being lied to. And you're just simply walking him down that path of destruction. You're walking him down that lie. And it's heartbreaking, guys. God knows much better. He has a much better plan. These poor kids are being duped. And so I'm going to play the first clip for you here, because I think that this young girl has a lot of insights, because she's only 22. She's just getting out of this. And she's seeing, one, you don't actually accept me. Okay, when you transition out, I'm not actually accepted by you, and you'll just accept us however we are. That's not a fact. As soon as you walk out of their Nazi regime, okay, they will kill you, all right? That's how they are, all right? They will throw you under the bus. You're a lunatic. You'll get death threats. All these things when you were once part of their team, and now you're gone. And that is the exact opposite, I'm sorry, of biblical Christianity. When it comes to someone who apostatizes from the church, you know what we do? We pray for that person. Yeah, Matthew 18 says, gives us church discipline, what it's supposed to look like, how we're supposed to go to them privately, how we're supposed to how we're supposed to bring them before the church, how we're supposed to warn, and how they're supposed to be anathematized, how they're supposed to be kicked out of the church. All right, not anathematized, but kicked out of the church and treated as a non-believer. But God's whole point is reconciliation. Over and over again through Matthew 18, even when it comes to church discipline, the point of it is reconciliation. God wants these people reconciled. He wants James 5:19-20, those who fall away from the truth, to be brought back and have their soul saved from death. He wants us as believers to see the pitfalls that are coming in Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, that none of our brethren have a sinful, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We have a job as believers to watch out and say, there are minefields over there. Don't step on those mines, okay? And when they do fall away, we want to still be those who love them back into the kingdom. Okay, I think that Paul does a great job, and obviously he does because God's the one who wrote it. But in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 6, explaining to us, I believe, with those two texts, how we are to react to the believer and the non-believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are warned that if somebody falsely calls themselves a brethren and says, oh, I'm a believer in Christ, but yet practice this wickedness, we aren't even to eat with them, because they're supposed to recognize the seriousness of their sin. And that you are still practicing this sin and thinking everything is okay. They need to recognize, and I think this is a problem for a lot of believers, because we welcome an incident, well, I'm trying to reach out to them, but you're listening to their stories of non-belief. You're listening to their stories of what they're doing with their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. They're getting drunk. And instead of rebuking it, instead of lovingly restoring a brother, as it says in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, instead of restoring them, what you're doing is just allowing them to tell stories and listening to them. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us not to be yoked together with the non-believer. We are to reach out. We would have to leave this world to not come in contact with a non-believer. And guess what? I want them to know Jesus. I want trans people to come to faith in Jesus Christ and recognize that their hope is not in a transition. Their hope is in a transformation that only comes by Jesus Christ coming into their heart and making their heart of stone a heart of flesh. That the Holy Spirit would come in them and ignite them to live a righteous life and enable them to. So I want you to hear from her own words of what is being done, how they're getting children, okay? Because that's exactly what these young people are. They are children. Just like Disney tried, if they can't get you, she's going to tell you some of the ways that they go. So I'm going to play the first clip. Tony, if you play that for me.
At the risk of unspeakable and devastating consequences. If a teenager says she has gender dysphoria and wants to be a boy, then she should and must be allowed to transition. That's the story we've been sold. And it's the only story we've been sold. And detransitioners are an inconvenient contradiction to this.
You see that? The inconvenient contradiction to the only way is to walk line and step with what we tell you. If you have inclinations of maybe you're tomboyish, maybe you're a little feminine, okay? If you have these inclinations, you need to transition. And it's the only narrative that you're hearing. And these aren't my words. These are her words. She lived through it. And she actually talks about the two main factors that aided her in transition. One of them had to do with trans friends, right, that were trying to transition, that were older, that she looked up to. And then she tells us the other main factor. Please play that clip, Tony.
Two, I had a sharp increase in my social media use. I was never very active on social media before I was 15, but within months of creating an account on Tumblr and following several LGBTQ resource blogs, I had decided that I was non-binary. And that identity was more of a game to me. It was a fun distraction, a quirk that could make me special and interesting, if not to others, then at least to myself.
You see, that's so heartbreaking to hear. You know, I remember when I was younger, it was a big goth movement. And sadly, I was really into death metal. And even though I was kind of like a preppy, jockish kind of guy, I remember, you know, these girls would go very gothic and they'd listen to the death metal and they would have, you know, dark fingernails and they had to be different. And sadly, I think a lot of times that's what happens because society says you're supposed to be popular, you're supposed to be this. And if they can't be famous, they'd rather be infamous. I'll be that girl that's different. I'll just be different. And it's really heartbreaking because what happens is that different that you want to be is typically goes in the sinful direction. Instead of being different because you're a called out one, okay? Instead of being different because Jesus Christ has called you out to be different from the world, right? For 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 says that they marvel that you do not run in their dissipations, that they're drinking parties and idolatrous worship. They marvel that you don't walk that way. So instead of being different because we are these called out ones, that we are this royal priesthood and saying, I'm going to walk in a manner worthy of my calling. I'm going to be different. What happens is a lot of times society says, here, this is a way you can be different. And if you're different here, then you can be famous at our school because you'll be the trans person. You'll be different because you're trans. And then everyone will also have to completely give hearty approval to that. And if they get a hearty approval to you being a trans person, or if they don't do that, we'll ostracize those weirdos who don't accept your transsexuality. And these are the pitfalls, guys. Look out for them in your kids. Please look out for them in your kids. Watch over them. Watch over your kids. Shepherd them in the right direction. It's, guys, this is really, really hard. And I'm going to let her talk about the online presence a little bit further because I think that this part of this is one of the most important aspects for young parents or older parents, whatever, to recognize how scary the internet really can be for your children. You're worried about, you should be worried about Snapchat. She's going to talk about Tumblr a lot here. And I wasn't that familiar with Tumblr. I remember I had a page for our Revivist ministry, for Tony and I's ministry page. We had a Tumblr page, but I wasn't that familiar with it. But pay attention to what your kids are on those phones. Don't let them dim the light on that phone and be looking at things that are ungodly. Don't let them dim that light and be have apps and jailbreak apps that whatever you guys are trying to use to watch what they're on and those things that they're hiding it from you. Make sure you know what's going on, because this may sound extreme, but guys, this is happening one way or the other. Either as she's going to talk about, by calling her to a transition, or your kids are going to hear that they're crazy for not being accepting of this. That they're the lunatics, they're the weirdos, because they don't accept what's going on here. And please play that clip, Tony.
I just want to say that I think it's incredibly important for everyone, parents, yes, obviously, but also teenagers and therapists and lawmakers, to understand what kind of impact social media can have on a developing mind. I, in essence, became a different person after I started using Tumblr. It's an unhealthy, upsetting, and toxic environment to even observe, let alone participate in as a teenager.
You see what she's talking about, guys? This is really, really important. This idea of not placing this wickedness before your eyes over and over again, hearing these opinions over and over again, thrown in your face over and over again, and over and over again, until it's all you can believe. And she's going to show you in this last clip I'm going to play from her just how dangerous that can be, just how scary it can be, and the mentality that comes from hearing this over and over again and having this propaganda put before your eyes, put before your children's eyes. They're being preyed on by the enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air works through the sons of disobedience. These are acts of disobedience. And Satan will use people over and over again to come after your kids. If you're a believer in Christ, if you love Jesus, and Satan can't get after you, he'll go after your children because he's a coward. And you have to watch over this. You need to be a good shepherd for your kids and hear what she says about those pitfalls when it comes to social media, what it looks like, and what is birthed from getting this propaganda. Play that last clip, Tony.
Being affected and surrounded by that level of groupthink, that level of moral policing, and the constant implicit threats of social exposure and ostracization made me an intensely internal and anxious person. It made me paranoid about the motives of people around me. I saw my parents as bigots because Tumblr told me to, because they held out for so long to prevent me from starting hormones. Anyone that slipped up even once and misgendered me was, according to Tumblr, an enemy. And one incident, one she, had the ability to make me absolutely hate someone.
You guys see that? You hear that? Your parents were bigots because they resisted her transitioning. And then what were they able to do with that influence? That if somebody would even slip up and call her what she actually was, that they were hateful and it made her hate them. Guys, this is the conditioning that has happened. This is the conditioning that's happened. I go on Twitter, and I try not to, because it's so bad out there, guys. It really is. And you just see the nonsense out there and just the hatred that the people have as a whole over and over again. If you have a difference of opinion whatsoever, you are absolutely a bigot. And this is exactly the propaganda machine that has taken place. And if you're not seeing the insights here, guys, I don't know what to tell you. This is somebody who literally, through the process of social media, decided to transition and started taking these hormone pills And it's sad. And now she's been ostracized, right? Because she didn't walk line in step with them and their regime. So now she's ostracized. The LGBTQ community is North Korea, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to this. You do not leave that country, okay? Or we will kill your family. That is exactly what happens. It's really heartbreaking to me. But guys, the thing that I love is that Jesus brings victory. And while this girl has yet to see that victory, I pray that she will see it. And I got to read a story about someone who did see victory, a former trans person who actually saw victory, a man named Kevin Witt. He said this, "I was a transsexual prostitute and a drag queen for 20 years. I used to perform in every drag venue in Dallas. I used to host my own drag shows for over 20 years. And then, 5.5 years ago, I found Jesus and I got set free. I was not looking for change. I thought I loved being in that lifestyle, but God just captured my heart and just surrendered, and I just surrendered my life to God, and I was set free and I came to Jesus. And ever since then, my life has been so much better than it ever was. I'm so much happier than I ever was. Whenever I was in the lifestyle, I was very depressed. I had to be drunk all the time. I was sleeping with all kinds of different men. I mean, I slept with probably 5 guys in a day. I was very sexually perverted." Witt combats pro-gay theologians who claim the Bible supports homosexuality. Witt calls scripture the, quote, inerrant, infallible truth. And homosexuality, he said, is sinful. Quote, "It is very, very clearly written. There is no way to twist scripture around it." And I love that, guys. When it comes to victory, where does it come? It comes from Jesus Christ, and it comes from having trust in his word, that what he says is true. I think there is a part of the regeneration process, I believe, that takes place in someone when they are truly regenerated, is that they love God's word. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word in truth, thy word is truth." God's word is truth. And to begin that sanctification process, you gotta trust his word. You gotta believe him at his word. And his word over and over again, as we read in Deuteronomy 22:5. We could read in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. We could read over and over again, scripture after scripture, about homosexuality, about transgenderism. But guess what? God's word is true, and what's great is the stories of victory. This isn't Steven Anderson screaming that he wants all gays to die. That guy's a heretic. No, what this is us recognizing a man saved out of that lifestyle. 20 years, guys, living a lie. And what do you say? I have to be drunk. Because what is alcohol? I mean, drunkenness specifically. It's a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, you see that in scripture. Do not be drunk with wine, which causes dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Getting drunk and actually having the Holy Spirit inside of you, these are simply counterfeits. That's why we're supposed to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We want victory in Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand upright with your God. Trust in his word. Put on that belt of truth. Put the gospel shoes on. Get walking out with the gospel, just like this guy is. Comes to faith in Jesus. 20 years of prostitution, 20 years of being a trans, 20 years of absolute 100% abominable idolatries, and yet he has come to faith in Jesus, and he's going to use that testimony. Use that testimony, whatever it is in your life, whether you're the kid who has grown up in the church and loved Jesus his whole life, let people marvel at your lifestyle. Let them look at you and say, why don't you run in the dissipations that we do? And then you can give an answer to the hope that is within you. And if you have come from Jesus Christ, you do not brag about your old lifestyle. You tell people how wicked it was. And you say, look at what I've been saved from. I had traded broken cisterns for streams of living water. I now have the living water. I have Jesus living inside of me. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And now I walk in victory just as this man does. I praise God for this guy's story. And I do pray for Dagny. I do pray for all those involved with Disney that they would be saved. And I pray that you will walk in the truth of God's word and trust in it this week. This has been Chad Davidson. of Good Fight Ministries, and this has been the 511 News.